She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 258, How to Own Your Mindset and Create Abundance with Molly Sapp.
Hello and welcome to She Did It Her Way, a podcast dedicated to helping you launch a business that allows you the freedom to create from anywhere, design your own schedule in a way that supports you, and pursue what it is that lights you up. I'm Amanda Boleyn, your host, and it is time to do it your way.
Welcome to the show, you guys. Thanks again so much for tuning in. If you are new around here, welcome to She Did It Her Way. I am so honored and excited that you are here and hanging out with me and all the other listeners tuning in from around the world to hear how women have gone out and done it their way. Now, today's episode is sponsored by one of my favorite bookkeeping systems, and that is FreshBooks. FreshBooks is the perfect accounting software for small businesses, especially when you're first starting out, because they make it so easy with the user interface, being able to track your expenses, creating and submitting invoices, and collecting payments to make sure you never miss any part of your business when it comes to accounting and the financials. I also love their time tracking feature. Whether you are tracking your own time or you are tracking your team's time, let's say you're using a contractor, it makes it super helpful and super easy to use. FreshBooks is giving you a 30-day free trial and test it out to see if you love it as much as I do by heading to www.freshbooks.com/she and enter in She Did It Her Way in the How Did You Hear About Us box. Now on to today's episode. So are you guys ready to own your mindset and create abundance with today's guest, Molly Sapp? Molly Sapp is a mindset strategist who turned her life around with proper mindset strategies, and now she uses her mindset mastery experience to help coach high-performing women to manifest what they want. And with only the first 15 months of her business, she collectively helped her clients make over several millions of dollars and lost 20 pounds without dieting or exercise. I know it sounds like magic, right? You guys heard me talk about Molly Sapp in last week's episode, so I'm excited for you guys to hear from Molly today. Some of the things we're talking about in this episode is discover how to become laser focused on a manifestation mindset, know the importance of creating space for receiving, understand how to recognize triggers in your life, learn what a mindset coach does and the value from working with one, and uncover how to move past the fear of what others think. Okay, Molly Sapp, it is a pleasure and an honor to have you on the show. I've shared with my listeners before on previous podcast episodes about how your Money Mindset Bootcamp has been so instrumental in my growth in removing money blocks. Share with us a little bit about your background and take us on how you got to be in this line of work and how you found yourself where you are today.
Well, thank you for having me, by the way. It's you're always a breath of fresh air and a joy. You're like a flower intuitively whenever I hear your voice. So I really appreciate you and everything that you do. Okay. So in terms of how did I get into this line of work, I have been studying spiritual development, personal development for 20 years. I was that weird chick who carried around a Bible in high school and, you know, was hanging out with the really intense party crowd, but like reading them biblical scriptures and stuff like that. It was like I was trying to be like Jesus as much as I possibly could. I was just weird all around. And nothing really manifested that I wanted. I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that like the reason why, you know, the Bible was there, the way, you know, spirituality was there, was to help us live the most abundant life we possibly could, to recognize that we have, you know, spiritual powers on this plane, and that we are, you know, in order for us to be obedient, it is to live out that life. And it was hard because I would pray and do all the things you're supposed to do every single day, and nothing that I wanted would manifest. And it was actually, I would manifest the exact opposite of what I wanted: rejection, weight gain, all sorts of stuff. And I just couldn't figure out what the hell was wrong with me. Pardon me if we're not allowed to curse on here.
Oh, that's okay.
And I figured you knew that you would have said something to me.
Yeah.
If anybody out here is interested in following me, I curse like a sailor, but a little warning there.
Well, that's what I appreciate that about you. I mean, you just, your tenacity to really move beyond what other people think and not being afraid, and you just show up being you and what is most aligned. So I appreciate that But yeah. Okay. Sorry. Continue.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. After 10 years of no results, I was like, okay, so something needs to change. And then I want to be an actress, or I wanted to be an actress. And so I went to an acting school in New York City and started finding meditation and the law of attraction. I literally had a 42-year-old Indian woman who was my roommate, and she was from Trinidad. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and she'd be sitting up meditating. And I was like, what the hell is she doing? And she was like, and she handed me the book, You Can Heal Your Own Life by Louise Hay, before it actually became like super popular. And it, I mean, Louise Hay is like the godmother of, you know, spiritual development. And I remember reading it, and it was like the law of attraction was right there. And it was like, this is it. Like, this is, you have to believe what you want, and it's all in your mind. It's all in your mind. And I was like, this is biblical. It's just, you know, taking, you know, stuff out of it, but it's like without the condemnation and guilt and shame and punishment. And I was like, oh my God, this is what I was put on this earth to like really, understand and know on a very deep level. And so I just started studying it like a mad woman. And then I got invited to this private, acting workshop in Bali, and Bali is known as like the hub of manifestation. It's known to have like latitude and longitude lines that activate, intense manifestation. And it's, you know, has a bunch of different spiritual, like spirits in the energetic world are very, very active in Bali, or at least that's what they say. And the sexual energy is very, very intense. And it's probably because it's one of the most beautiful places in the world. But I found myself walking into Hindu temples. And I remember very clearly before I walked into a Hindu temple, because I was raised Southern Baptist, and they were like, if you study other religions, you're going to go to hell, and you know, you're going to be possessed by demons and stuff like that. I remember just looking up at the top of this Hindu temple and being like, God, I need to study other faiths, because I cannot have a relationship with you in this condemning, like, you know, I have to have this relationship with you, and nothing is working. Everything that feels so strongly in my heart, my purpose, it's just not aligning. So I mean, I don't know if what I learned as a kid in church is true. So help me find my way back to you if that's what's supposed to be. And I remember just going into the Hindu temples and like feeling the different energies and meditating and getting into body movement work and, you know, journaling, like all of a sudden, you know, deep, deep journaling techniques and deep, deep healing techniques and deep, deep character dynamics and understanding human behavior and how we interact and patterns and thought patterns and just super deep advanced level mindset stuff of understanding the subconscious and subconscious programming and just immense amounts of deep things. It was almost kind of like I had been learning so much since I was 8 years old, and it hadn't like actually been able to translate into my physical world. And then all of a sudden I went and studied a different religions. And it was like, all of a sudden it was like a mad scientist, and all these equations started becoming very real in my mind. And, I went back to Houston, and I literally, it was the weirdest thing. I like lit some chakra candles and started, you know, journaling and started like, you know, painting. And I lost a binge eating disorder within like the snap of my fingers, dropped 25 pounds within 6 weeks, eating whatever the hell I wanted, like fast food, junk food, whatever. Found I had never dated. Like one of the things that I wanted up until that point was I wanted to have a boyfriend, and I had never had a boyfriend up until that point. I had been scared crapless, shitless to, again, pardon me, to actually start acting, to pursue my dreams. And I booked like 12 short films, 3 feature films. I got my SAG card, 2 commercials, like endless amounts of stuff within like a 2-month period. Like it was astounding how much stuff. And I got really good reviews. And I also did like 3 or 4 plays within a 6-month period. It was like, just like, whoa. And, you know, experienced things that I, you know, wanted to be in the popular crowd, right? And I hung out with, you know, dated one of those, like, quote unquote popular guys that was, you know, that all the girls wanted to date and all this other, you know, yada yada. Mm-hmm. And that was probably one of the biggest turning points, because though I wanted to, you know, be in, you know, date the popular guy or whatever, however you want to word it, he had a serious drug problem, and a year after we stopped dating, died of an overdose. Oh, and it taught me, yeah, it was really, 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 really hard. It taught me it took me to a whole other level of understanding manifestation and the need to get super laser sharp on the foundation of what you manifest. So it was like, not only was I understanding up to the point of Bali the fundamentals and all the deep levels of manifestation, but then here I was understanding that, you know, like, destruction in just manifesting something, and the things that a lot of people forget that can cause businesses to go under, that can cause you to put the weight back on, that can cause you to manifest horrible relationships, abusive relationships, and literally sabotage yourself from ever wanting to manifest, like, consciously manifest again. And,
what was it in that moment, if you don't mind me asking, like, yeah. You know, getting laser focused on the foundation of manifestation, when you look back at that experience, can you walk us through, like, the mindset, so that we can get a better, so we can understand, like, what happened and how do we correct against, or correct so that we don't do that ourselves in the future? Like, how can we be aware of that moment?
Excellent question. Okay. So I wanted a boyfriend. I wanted a boyfriend, right? Like, strictly that. I wanted a boyfriend, and I wanted a specific type of boyfriend. I wanted the popular boyfriend, right? Mm-hmm. I wanted the fun, you know, the popular boyfriend. And I didn't take into consideration that he would have a massive drug problem, that he would be hanging out with people that were seriously dangerous, that I would be putting my life in jeopardy, that he would probably be off doing God knows what, that I would be worried about STDs, that I would be worried, and I'm not saying he had an STD, but that was just, like, one of the things that you worry about when a guy you date has a drug problem. Mm-hmm. You know, like, just endless amounts of stuff. And then, you know, girls wanting to date him, and, like, girls who have drug problems wanting to date him. And so I wasn't looking at, okay, I want a boyfriend and I want the popular boyfriend, but am I taking into consideration the character that I want, the internal character traits that I want? Or am I looking at, and this is where it gets deeper, am I taking into consideration that my father had an alcohol problem? Mm-hmm. Am I taking into consideration that I'm deeply connected to my father and I wanted to heal my relationship with my father? Am I taking into consideration that my best friends up until that point had also had drug problems and it was a pattern that I was, you know, obviously attracted to? So it was kind of like, it was a very toxic type of desire for me to have, but because I wanted to have it, it wasn't from a pure place. It was, I wanted to prove something to myself that I could fit in. I wanted to prove to, you know, that I was a cool kid, that I, you know, cause I had been bullied in high school. And it wasn't, whenever you're trying to prove something, it blows up in your face. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, and, from there, after I learned that lesson, I really worked on, you know, like, healing that and releasing my need to attract alcoholics and drug addicts and toxic people. And once I did that, it, like, kind of clicked into place that I wanted to learn how to take this into the world. And I started studying money mindset. And so by that point, I knew the ins and outs of a lot of stuff with money mindset. And I had also done a lot of healing with relationships and was like, oh, I should manifest a romance with a entrepreneur to help me build my business. And that's what I ended up doing 2 weeks later. And within 15 months, I had a multiple six-figure business and probably one of the hottest love stories of my life thus far. So
Dang.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I have kind of going back to, because like I from the Money Mindset piece and a lot of things that, you know, happened during the Money Mindset Bootcamp. I think I cried almost, I don't know. There was like 6 weeks total and I probably cried, I don't know, 5 of them. And I took a ton away from that. And it was just, I think one of the things that you do really well too is the journaling prompts and the questions that you ask. And I would love for you to share some, maybe we can start high level about the mindset aspect of it and how money is energy and it flows in. And because I used to be, I mean, 2 years ago, I'd been like, yeah. Okay. That's fine. That's weird. That's whatever. Okay. But then as I've like become more aware and educated, I get it. And different things are popping up after, like, a lot of blocks were removed after the boot camp. And then now I'm seeing different things, other blocks popping up. But from the basic level, talking about what are some simple money blocks that people have that you've coached and that you've experienced, and maybe some of the places that it comes from that's stopping us from taking, going to the next level?
Good question. Okay. So I'll say 5 real quick, because I know I go on and on about this stuff. Number one, not being able to handle the money, in the sense that you don't think that you can handle the money. Taxes, debt, and just like, you know, women in general are trained culturally that they, you know, need to be the housewife and stuff like that. And so, you know, like if they've made mistakes in their past with finances, and 9 times out of 10, we've all made those mistakes. Debt is a big, big factor, because they're wanting to pay off debt. And whenever you want to pay off debt first, it's immediately a, like, whenever people come to me and they're like, I'm like, why do you want to make this amount of money? And they're like, to pay off debt. I'm like, well, that's the first reason you're not making money. Because your whole mindset is focused on paying off something versus the success and the joy that's going to come from you having the money. And it's, you're focused on, you know, getting rid of shame, and you can't get rid of shame externally. It comes from internal. Second one is taking the responsibility. With money comes an exchange. And if you're, you know, like on a entrepreneurial sense, it's a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of responsibility if you're a coach, because, you know, the results, the holding the space, the energy that goes into it, the, you know, performing up to your clients' expectations, whether you're a service provider or a coach. And so it's the responsibility factor. Like, a lot of women will come in and they're like, yeah, I want to have, you know, I want to make $250,000 a year. And it's like, are you really aware that, you know, you got to have an accountant, you got to have process payments, you got to have an assistant, you got to have all these different things. You're going to be building your team, you're going to be getting up every day and getting aligned, you're going to be marketing yourself, you're going to be creating content on an ongoing basis. Like, it's kind of like, it starts to sink in all the stuff that they have to do. And it's like, whoa, I didn't know I'll have all of this responsibility. The third one I'd see is fear of success. Being really, a lot of people think it's fear of failure. It's more so the standing out among your family, standing out among your husband or your partner, standing out, you know, amongst your friends, dealing with jealousy, standing out to the people around you that you're talking to online or offline. Being different is another, like, in that sense. Number four, mom and daddy issues. And I'm not listing those in level of importance, because mommy and daddy issues are probably number one. It's, you know, like, mommy and daddy probably either they had success and so they're afraid to either surpass them or get to that level. So unconsciously there's this like power struggle a bit, because they are your parents. Mm. A lot of people are scared to do it because they don't want to dismiss what their parents did for them. And it's kind of like, if they surpass their parents, they feel like they're being mean. A lot of them are sabotaging themselves because they don't want to take care of their parents, despite the fact that they say that's what they want to do. Because again, it's too much responsibility. And then there's also abuse. If there's abuse in the past, they're dealing with the criticism that's in their head from their parents. And number five, I would say, oh, that's a good question. I'm like, the fear of not getting their clients' results. It's fits into a few of those already, but it's literally just the like stop sign of, you know, manifestation in terms of, you know, making a lot of money, because it's like, if you don't have testimonials coming out of your ears, it's like, how can I charge more? Or how can I really believe that they're not going to sue me, or they're not going to ask for a refund, or et cetera, et cetera. And you don't know. So it's, you're taking a risk, and it makes you really uncomfortable, and you're afraid of success. So it kind of plays into all of those different blocks.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple of follow-up questions to that. For when you said some of the fear of success and standing out, I think what I see a lot too, and even something that I had moved on or moved through and, you know, still work on to this day, is, you know, getting past the marketing yourself and putting yourself out there and not being afraid to ask for the sale, and moving, especially in the early stages or beginning, we're so resistant or fearful about what other people think. Can you give us an example of maybe either like a journal prompt, or, you know, how to walk through that in our mind to allow us to really pull out and work and move past that fear of what other people think?
Good question. What's my worst fear? What are my worst fears about putting myself out there? That's like, you know, and that can, if you can't write on that for 3 to 5, even 10 pages, you're not facing your deep stuff. Because if you're really stopping yourself from making thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars because of that, and 9 times out of 10, we don't go deep enough, it's that. So what am I really afraid of? And where does that come from? So if you're really afraid of your mother and dad judging you, well, where does that come from? Is it from the stories as a child? Is it a specific story as a child? Is it from mom being super critical of herself and her parents being super religious? Where does it come from? Where does it originate? And then heal that block, release that block, however you want to word it, release it.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of to piggyback on all of the block piece of it, one thing that really stood out to me in one of the calls is that we were talking about, you know, the allowing and the receiving piece of it, and how sometimes we need to sit back and, you know, we've done the work, whether it's energetic or physical work. Walk us through like the importance of being able to create space for receiving, and even how sometimes that is a key blocker for people. It was for me, and I would, things that I would receive, I would sabotage, I wouldn't acknowledge it, and because it either felt weird or for whatever reason, just talking about how being able to receive is a really big piece of abundance.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the thing about receiving is that it's the last, it's the finish line. It's the, you know, state from going from broke to wealthy. It's the state of going from, you know, thinking that you're a victim to the world's circumstances to taking complete control over your life and what manifests in your life. It's a big deal. So like, if you start receiving things, it's like, oh, okay. Like I can just sit back and receive. And it's the human race in and of itself is always scared of change. So receiving equals change. It equals a transfer of energy. It's, and a lot of people have resistance to being able to receive because of some deep seated issues. Sometimes there's abuse that you don't even realize that makes it really hard for you to receive, because you've been told that you're nothing, because you've been told that you're, a horrible person, because you've been told that you shouldn't, you know, receiving is bad, and who the hell are you to you know, think that you can become this successful person. And so you receiving or allowing yourself to receive is very uncomfortable, because there's a sense of like, I'm going against everything that I've been programmed to believe. Is this okay? Is this okay? Is this okay? It's there's also, this is a little too deep that I don't like to go into the, this kind of deep stuff, but like there's a lot of women, I mean, obviously with the Me Too campaign, there's a lot of women who've been sexually abused, and receiving can sometimes trigger sexual abuse. I know it's weird, but it's like receiving pleasure can trigger shame, can trigger pain, can trigger heartbreak, betrayal, all different stuff. And it doesn't necessarily have to be sexual abuse. It can be other forms of abuse, but it can, it triggers like receiving pleasure. It can make you want to like push receiving anything away, especially if it brings pleasure. And when it comes to money, it's a material thing, and it's very closely linked to sex. So if a woman, like you could even go back to, you know, sexual pleasure is linked to receiving money. It's a power thing. So you want to look at your ability to receive pleasure, not even just sexual pleasure, but pleasure. It can go really deep. There's also, you know, it's, you know, good for you to not receive in religious aspects. Like we've been trained religiously that it's not good to receive. It's, you know, you are to give, you are to give. Another woman that I had on one of my money boot camp calls yesterday, or not, it's a boot camp call. She was like, love doesn't demand anything. Love is just giving, giving, giving. And I'm like, that's, you know, actually codependency. It's unrequited. It's, you know, and I said, it's a hell of a lot easier for you to just give. It takes way more strength and standing in the power of love to receive, truthfully.
Yeah, I would definitely second and agree with that. It's like from my own personal experience, it has been in the past way easier to give, because then to receive is to, for me, again, it was just to open myself up and be more vulnerable and get comfortable with receiving, even if it's a simple compliment. When I used to, when people would compliment on my clothes, I would always justify it and be like, oh yeah, I got it from the Gap. It was 50% off. It was like $10. Like there's no reason for me to necessarily feel like I have to do that. But then I like had reflected on past childhood and some relationships that I had with some family members. And it was that anytime, you know, you were given something, there was always this attachment to it. So I'd always be, I would be afraid to receive, because I'm like, well, what are you going to want later? And then it would be this cycle. And I saw it through with a hot and cold relationship with one of my family members. And now it's definitely a lot better. But as a child, one of like the parents, and it was just, it was hot and cold. And I saw myself being really attracted to that in a relationship and a partner. And obviously my partner is not like that now, thankfully. Yeah. But just those subtle ways of like receiving is so important. And I know like on one of the calls, one of the gals was selling something. I think it was like an online course maybe. And I just remember you saying like, you know what, like unplug, go watch Bravo, go watch reality TV. And it's such an unconventional way to go about something, because our society is very much the hustle mindset. And if you aren't grinding, if you're not constantly pushing, then what are you doing? But you're like, you really helped me see that there's that aspect of receiving. And I even experienced that on my honeymoon. Like I had gone to my honeymoon in middle of March, and I was in the middle of ticket sales, and it just, I consumed my mind was consumed by the ticket sales and everything. And finally the one day when I let go and I said, this isn't worth it, I just, you know, I'm not going to carry like this with me on my honeymoon. Two massive ticket sales of VIP came in the next day. And it was just, it was like another, like trusting to sit back and receive.
Absolutely. Yeah, completely.
I would love to know. So I have a handful of questions too. Like, what has been your biggest block that you've had to work through?
Good question. Standing up for myself.
How did you work through that? Was it similar to other ways that you've worked through other blocks, or did you have to do something different this time?
It was pretty intense because it was, I had dealt with gaslighting, and it's, I don't know if anybody well, I'm sure some of your listeners understand gaslighting. It's a form of emotional and mental abuse, and it's very, very, very subtle, and it triggers you to question yourself and doubt yourself. And so you feel like you don't really have any power to stand on because you're like, I'm constantly questioning and doubting myself. So I'm not like, you know, a normal human being. And standing, when you don't feel like you're a normal human being in terms of your ability to stand in your truth, it makes it really hard for you to stand up for yourself. And so it was a matter of taking stands on things that were little to start to build my trust and to start to build my confidence in it. It was looking at the dynamics of gaslighting and seeing the triggers and listening to different things about what people have gone through and the patterns and, taking time to really, I spent a lot of time with God, to be honest, to really allow myself to heal. That's usually my go-to whenever I have like some deep-seated stuff, and I just allow the power of God to just like, when I focus on the ultimate almighty power to like soak up the pain and the hurt and the victimization, it really helped me a lot. I don't want to say long process, but sometimes when there's trauma like that, it takes a while. And I think the most important part of it was to be gentle with myself about it and to just, I don't want to say put a time limit on it, but understand that I didn't have to heal completely in order to take action and get results in my life. And so I'd even say it's still something that I'm working on in it. I'm starting to see things unravel. Like I had a girl attempt to take a form of manipulation and kind of, I don't want to say, she attempted to gaslight me in a boot camp, and it didn't trigger me at all. Mm. And in the past it had, and it was interesting because I was like, oh, this is what it's like to not be triggered by this, because my deepest fear was that I was going to constantly run into it. And you're going to run into this stuff. Like anybody on the planet is going to run into people trying to gaslight, because it just is. But you don't have to be triggered by it. And so seeing the small shifts create a bigger shift. So like when I saw it, it was like, whoa, okay, shit is shifting, pardon me, but that's a big deal. And I handled it with grace and kindness and love, but I also stood my ground in a very powerful way, and it didn't affect me. I felt empowered by it, and it was amazing. It was an amazing moment. So yeah, it's a step-by-step process.
Well,
sorry to cut you off.
Oh, no. You mentioned triggers, and I think triggers are a really great starting point, or at least it has been for me. Can you share with us, like, what are some triggers, whether they're mental or they're physical, that, you know, if we're going along about our day and we experience this emotion or thought, that maybe we can take a pause and say, okay, maybe this is a trigger. What are some of the common ones that you see with your clients?
I just literally did a live stream on this last night in my free Facebook group. I didn't mean to plug there.
Oh, no, I'm going to ask you to plug later, so don't worry. It's all good. Because people want to connect with you and all the other guests. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I was triggered about some of my audience, and it wasn't even necessarily that I was running into it with customers or potential customers. It was just like, I could sense that there are these types of people in my audience. And this is so frequent throughout anybody who's running an online business or a business in general. You'll get an intuitive feeling about your customers and why they're not buying or why they're acting the way that they are, because they'll start to say things and it's like you want to just roll your eyes because you're like, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, et cetera, et cetera. And it's the trigger for me was they don't understand the power of mindset coaching. There's a difference between listening to audios on mindset. There's a difference between getting a digital product in mindset. There's a difference between doing a 6-week boot camp course and not continuing in mindset. There's a difference between high level group coaching. There's a difference between one-on-one mentoring in mindset. And it's like, I get that there are people out there who are thinking that they just need the tools and the techniques to go on and do it on their own, because I did that. So when you're triggered, it's usually something within you that you haven't forgiven yourself for, that you haven't really faced within yourself. And so it helped me to go, oh, just because I went through a long period of time where I didn't think I needed a mindset coach doesn't mean that I can't hold that power of I am a mindset coach that you need on an ongoing basis. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So to me recapping is seeing like things in your audience or that intuition that ultimately is something that you've experienced or maybe a belief that you've had previously that's then showing up in your audience and a chance for you to work through that.
Absolutely. I'm nodding my head. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And another good example is this may be more simple. A woman who wants to build her online business and her husband is like, are you sure that you want to do this? Are you sure you don't need a certification? Are you sure that you can, you know, price your stuff at this? It's not him. It's you think that, so you're projecting that onto him. Because if you really are standing in your power and your confidence, he's going to pick up on that. I had a client who, a girl who went through one of my boot camps, and she was making next to maybe $500 a month in her business. And she was like, my biggest problem is my husband. He doesn't believe in me. He's not supportive of it. And I was like, he's not supportive of it because he's an example of parts of you that is not supportive of it. Sure enough, she messages me 3 weeks into the boot camp and I hadn't even seen her active. And she's like, Molly, I had my first 5-figure month. I need to talk to you about this. And I was like, wait a minute, hold on.
That's amazing.
Hold the phone. And then she said, this is hilarious. She goes, now he's triggering me about the fact that I told him I had a 5-figure month. And he's saying, honey, can you sustain that? Oh. And I was like, okay, what part of you doesn't believe you can sustain it? And so it's just a never ending process.
Right.
And that's why, you know, like I'm referring back to mindset coaching needing an ongoing process. The ones that work, you know, with mindset coaches or me, for example, for a year, I see them, I've had a few different ones make an additional $1 million in their bottom line, that type of thing. And I think that's really kind of difficult for a lot of people to believe and process because they think that it all comes down to, oh, I don't need a mindset coach. I can just do my stuff on my own because I have the tools and the structures and stuff like that. And so that goes back to that, the first example.
Yeah. Well, I've purchased online courses before and done self-guided study, but like going through yours, and I know this is not a commercial for Molly Stapp's course, but anyway, like, no, I mean, it's amazing. And I know I keep talking about it.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I will only share things that I get a ton of value out of. I don't just like share things for the sake of sharing or because, oh, I'm getting a kickback, whatever. No. I don't do that. Cause my goal is to always build trust. And I like signed up for your course. It was the most amount of money that I've ever invested in development. And even in the first week, I remember saying, I'm like, oh, I watched all your videos. Like, this is amazing. I got so much, like, even if it ended now, I got so much out of it. And I think that there is definite power in the layered process of education and then also having group coaching and then being able to ask questions and have that interaction. And I love how, you know, you were talking about the mirror, or really if we're upset with someone else or we get triggered by someone else, it's like, what does that trigger inside of us? And that, like, my experience is that sometimes it's because of the victim, or like one thing that you really taught was just taking ownership of the choices. So even though we are ultimately bringing things in to our environment, again, I'll only speak from my experience, is then once I realized like taking of saying, I have chosen this, whether maybe in the beginning I couldn't see it, but I still practice and said, okay, like this is what I choose. What else do I want to choose? And shifting that story and that dialogue was really, really beneficial.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, victim mindset is a big, big deal to me because I played the victim for a very long time and it was like staying stuck. It's just a matter of like, you're not getting what you want. You're playing a victim in some way, shape, or form, bottom line.
Yeah. Okay. So we are wrapping up and I do have a few, these are rapid fire rounds. So they're meant to be really quick and fast. What is something in your life that is a non-negotiable?
Mindset work.
Okay. What is the one thing, like one thing that you get your inspiration from?
Journaling.
What is something that you believe that others think is insane?
Being able to make $1 million by journaling and tapping.
I love that. What's one of your favorite books?
Chakras and Their Archetypes by Ambika Waters.
Okay. And then what is the best $100 or less purchase that you have made in your business and life?
Pardon me. I was going to say my membership program, but I haven't bought my membership program because I honestly, that's mine. I know. Grant Cardone's webinar series on the follow-up and sales. That was brilliant.
Okay. I love it. I'm going to link to all of that stuff in the show notes. Last question I have for you, Molly, is share with my listeners where they can connect with you and find out more information and just dive into more of your stuff if that's what they want to do. Where can they find that?
Awesome. It's mollysapp.com. That's my website. You can find just about everything on there. And I highly recommend my Facebook group. It's called High Performance Female. There's hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of free value in terms of live streams. Women have manifested $40,000 months from my free content. Women have manifested their first five figure months from my free content. And it's free. And it's, you will figure out if you want to work with me very quickly if you watch that content. And it's extremely helpful. And I pride myself on the kind of content that I provide that's free. So highly recommend that Facebook group.
Love it. Awesome. Molly, thank you so much for coming on the show. We are going to link, again, like I said, everything in the show notes. So you guys can head on over to shedidherwaypodcast.com and click on today's episode with Molly and find out more information and connect with her there. So thank you.
Thank you for having me, dear. You're just a delight all the time.
Delight. Yay, thank you. Again, if you're just starting out with your business and you need an accounting software that is simple and easy to use, check out FreshBooks at freshbooks.com/she and enter in She Did It Her Way in the How Did You Hear About Us box. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast episode. For more information, check out shedidherway.com. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would love for you to leave me a review on iTunes and let me know what you think. Until next time, keep doing it your way.